When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with Progressive, you could save money, but it doesn't cover any terrible memories living rent-free in your head.
Hey, just wanted to remind you of that time your kicker missed the extra point and lost the game. Even though he literally never missed an extra point, he chose this playoff game to miss. Yeah, I just noticed you hadn't thought about that in a bit. Wouldn't want you to miss, you know, thinking about it.
Sorry, we can't save you from that memory. But we could save you money bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Renters insurance and bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Michigan Secretary of State candidate Christina Caramo joined Steve Bannon on the War Room today. And, of course, we know the voters in Michigan, Arizona, Missouri, and Washington, and some here in Ohio, went to the polls today to elect candidates for the general election. And here, Steve Bannon opened his segment with Christina's latest campaign ad on George Soros' lackey, Joycelyn Benson, the current Secretary of State in Michigan. Soros has been out boasting, Joe, bragging about how he's going to keep buying and putting in prostitutes, people right. that were totally corrupt, and he's going to keep buying them and putting them in
keep
office.
Keep on doing it. He's got the money. He thinks it's the right thing to do, and, of course, he's so righteous, he's got to do the right thing, right?
Earlier this week, Benson unilaterally changed the election rules and announced her latest laws that will make it easier for Democrats to cheat in the state. The woman was weaned on Soros' leftism for several years and was part of the Secretary of State project to transform America into a violent, violent society. And so Steve Bannon called this one of the best spots of the year. So go ahead and play that clip.
Secretary of State Joycelyn Benson sent out 7.7 million unsolicited absentee ballot applications before the 2020 election, creating a weakened chain of custody and a foundation for massive voter fraud and illegal ballot harvesting. Then on December 1st, 2020, less than 30 days after the election, Benson ordered local clerks to erase all digital data from the ePublic laptops and flash drives, including identifying information like qualified voter files and voter timestamps. Why is this important? Erasing them eliminates the ability to audit the vote. Without QVFs or timestamps, you can't prove who or when somebody voted. When a single clerk balked at Joycelyn Benson's order to erase the drives, she hired an independent contractor to review the e-poll book data. Guess what? The contractor found an 11.5% difference in votes between the township and state. Statewide, that equates to an approximate 800,000 vote differential. But why would a Secretary of State want these numbers erased? That's a conspiracy theory, right? What if we told you Joycelyn Benson is part of the Secretary of State project? A political organization founded in July 2006 by none other than George Soros to advance election protection measures. Their goal was to elect Democrat secretaries of state in swing and battleground states, specifically those whose margin of victory in the 2004 election was 120,000 votes or less. Place politicians where the races are close. That was always the plan. Joycelyn Benson has been funded by Soros for years and has the power to influence Michigan elections. And she already has. If Joycelyn Benson is Secretary of State in 2024, she could alter the course of presidential history. There is no race more important. It is time to shut down Benson and Soros for good. Vote Christina Caramo for Secretary of State. America's future depends on it.
Wow. Christine Caramo now joins us in Michigan. Christina, tell us the stakes. That is the best spot of the year, I believe, and I've seen them all. The single best, and your team ought to be very proud of that. Talk to us about the meaning of that, you versus not just your opponent, but George Soros.
Yeah, there's a reason why. Thanks for having me on, Steve. But there's a reason why Soros has been going after the Secretary of State's race. It's because the the Secretary of State is the chief election officer. And if you have a dishonest and corrupt individual sitting in that office, they can subvert the will of the people. And if they control the Secretary of States in the battleground states like Michigan, Arizona, and other places, Nevada as well, then they control the White House, they control Congress, and with the Democratic attempt to centralize more and more power in the federal government, they can take over our country. And we, the people, have no power, no voice. So this race is so critical, and Democrats understand the critical nature of this race. This is why they, so far between my opponent and group supporting her, have spent over $3 million in media. $3 million in commercials to beat little old me. Why are they afraid of little old me? Because they are terrified that our movement, the populist movement that we see sweeping America and our state, will defeat them, and then we will return control over the election systems back to the people of Michigan, irrespective of political affiliation. Everyone needs to join in and support our cause to take this woman out of office.
One of the things they really come after you for, not just being a populist, but they're really all over you because you are a woman of faith, and you're not shy about saying, hey, my faith informs me my life. It doesn't make my political decisions, and it won't affect what I do technically as Secretary of State. But why is it the fact that you're a not just a practicing Christian, but you have a your form of lived Christianity, why has that upset them so much and they've looked to single you out along with Doug Mastriano and a handful of others, but particularly you, ma'am?
You know, the thing about it is if you're looking to collapse a society, you have to collapse it socially and morally. And so these people are terrified of more Christians getting in office because we are major opposition to the secular progressive movement. And to your point, Steve, I mean, these people talk about things that have absolutely nothing to do with the Secretary of State's office. My position on abortion, my position on God's design for human sexuality. These things have nothing to do with the Secretary of State's office, and in no way should the government treat people differently because of their religious or social views. These things are irrelevant. But with the secular progressives, they are pushing an utter collapse of the human family so they could take over society. I mean, the push for abortion until birth, it's not just bloodlust and all these other bizarre things that they have going on, but it's also a matter of destroying the children. You know, when you have your sons and you put, you know, a dress on a little boy and you sexually confuse a child, you destroy the next generation that he may have had. Those children that he may have had are not going to be had anymore because now he's castrating himself at 16. So these people have a really bizarre agenda. It makes no sense that they want to make sex politics the cornerstone of their argument. And when you step back, Steve, it's really weird. And there's something else deeply going on. It doesn't make sense that I need to agree with someone's sex life in order to serve them as Secretary of State. Completely irrelevant. And also, it's important for the audience to know that as someone who is a Christian apologist, I had a Christian podcast. So in the space of me being a Christian apologist, like I spoke at a Women in Apologetics conference this year. And in that space, of course, I'm going to discuss things from a biblical worldview, but in the context of Secretary of State, I don't care what your personal beliefs are. I have a job to serve you. I can't get into whether or not I agree with your life. So the fact that they want to go on this thing of attacking people like myself and others, or just Doug Mastriano as well, for being Christians, that shows you that the authoritarian left, the secularists, they see Christianity as their biggest enemy to imposing their agenda on everybody, which would be absolute tyranny on all. That should encourage us as Christians to know that we need to step up, because one of the things that's important for people to know is we're not looking to force anybody to be a Christian. We just want to share the good news of Christ with you. But as Secretary of State, I'm going to remain neutral religiously because that's not the job of the Secretary of State.
Christina, today there's a primary, but that's for really the federal offices and the governor. You're already the nominee for Secretary of State. How do people find out more about your campaign? It's already game on. With you, with your opponent. They're spending unlimited amount of money to destroy you personally. How do people find out more about your campaign, man?
Yeah, please, ChristinaCaramo.com, Christina with a K, Caramo with a K, ChristinaCaramo.com. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and also our Rumble page where people can see interviews, my speech from the Trump rally, and they can just learn more about me as a person, because what's missing in government? You know, we have a criminal cartel running our state and nation. And Steve, you know that personally very well, that these are the people that we're up against. So it's going to require us as Americans, us as patriots and this populist movement to really band together to take back our state and nation. The future and the lives of our children and grandchildren depend on it. And so if we don't take back our country, our children will inherit tyranny. That's the reality.
Christina Caramo, thank you very much. And tell your team, absolutely great spot. We're going to be playing it throughout the day and all through the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. God bless.
Just an incredible spot. Let's go.
Alrighty. We're back. And Joe, I wanted to say a couple things quickly that, you know, we've sent out already several hundred, I believe around 300, 2,000 mule DVDs. And we're going to keep sending them out as long as we can. Now, folks, we're telling you, we ask a donation of $60 or more. We'll send you one. And many, many people ask for the CDs for the songs we play. And we've sent more of those out than anything else. We've sent out thousands and thousands of those CDs that we play for the songs. And if we can get a donation of 75 or more, we'll send you both the mule and the songs. There's about 20 songs on one of the CDs. And those are the songs you hear on this program played, the most popular ones. But anyhow, here's the point. And in fact, I'll have you give the address in a minute there, Joe. Or they can go up to our website, wrwl.org, wrwl.org, if they want to go up to the website. And also, those T-shirts we have now, boy, we get everywhere we go with those, people want to order them. They are ordering them. And the T-shirts are, they're black. And on the front, in big, bold letters, red, white, and blue, they've got America Needs Jesus. America Needs
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. How true, how true.
And on the back, Joe, and two-inch letters, white letters on the black, it says, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And I wore that T-shirt one place where I when I was telling them, what is the, you know, God gives us three missions. And I said, what is the second mission? And I just turned around. And when people saw that, they applauded. Okay,
and they caught her pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. With the 2,000 mules, the people that put it out, I was listening to them, and they were talking about how they were hoping. They were just hoping they could get at least 2,000 of them. If they could just get 2,000 of them out. But guess what, Joe? And this was Gary Phillips who was made these. He said, we couldn't believe it. We've put out over 20,000 have been sold. Or not 1,000, million.
20 million.
Wow. Million, yeah. And I must have said 1,000. They were hoping to get 2 million out, but they've sent out over 20 million. And they said that the fake news media, the fake news is beside themselves because it was their job to stop it, not to have that get out. And you know, Fox News has turned on us, too. Fox News is really...
would not let him come on, would not talk about the movie, and the same thing would happen with Newsmax. You didn't see any ads for that on Newsmax.
Not only that, but guess what else? The Republican Party refused to promote it. The chair, so they refused. So the ghost shows you how deep the fix is in.
Yeah.
And so... But all of it's there, and everyone I've talked to that have watched that film said we knew that the election fraud was there, but we didn't know that it was this deep, just how deep it was. And there they give you, there it is, where they say, where's the evidence? It's right there. And that just shows you just how fake the fake news media is. And
well,
I wanted
we know
to say,
there were three things that movie showed. One, but Zuckerberg, Zuckerbucks, we talked about that, how he dumped almost $400 million and it all went to helping register Democrats get out the Democrat vote. They say had that not happened, Trump would have won. And then you had the media hiding the Hunter Biden laptop story with the 31 intelligence officials saying, oh, it's the laptop is Russian disinformation. They never looked at it. They didn't want to. They lied, and of course, there's been no.
Well, the FBI looked at it. The FBI knew that they had to cover it up. The FBI is no longer.
So that in itself, there were enough people that said that if they had known that before the election, they would have not voted for Biden. That would have switched the election. So we had three major things that would have changed this election: the cheating, the lies from the media, you know, the Zuckerbucks. That huge amount of money poured into one area, and
it was called corruption. You add it all up. Give me an example here. exclusive Pima County poll workers trained to illegally give Republican ballots to Democrats and to illegally electioneer in Trump-endorsed Carrie Lake's race for governor. Now, this Carrie Lake, she is great. She is good. She is like a female version of Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump. And here now, they come out with these phony and false polls showing her behind where, she went on Fox News and she just tore Bret Baier. She caught Bret Baier and she just tore him up one side down the other. And his face turned red. He wasn't used to this. He got caught, okay? But let me go with this. Pima County poll workers have been caught telling voters how to fill their ballots out in another new election scandal revealed by a Tucson radio host, Greg Lewis. He goes on to say, the worst part is that this appears to be Rhino Republican Prime Pima County who are causing another mess. Before the election, in the department training and education coordinator for Pima County 2022 primary election, Jesus Federico, was caught violating the law by directing poll workers to give Republican ballots to registered Democratic voters. The Gateway Pundit obtained a recent email where Federico notifies poll workers and admits to misrepresenting the law. However, he only sent this because he got caught. Now, let me just tell you, this is what they were doing, too, here in Ohio. And we were telling, remember I told you before, they're getting out, they're sending out these ballots telling the Democrats, flyers, vote, get a Republican ballot, and then vote for these Democrats, and they run them as rhinos. So they'll run, and this is what they were doing here, because what happens is people only, a lot of people, they don't vet people, they don't look and see how they voted. They remember they saw their name on signs out there, and now there's an R behind the name, and as long as it's an R, it's not a D. So they vote for it, and the Democrats knew that. They knew that because of what Biden and what have they done, nobody wants any part of the Democrats, anybody that's got any intelligence at all. And so this is what they're doing. They're as corrupt gets. Here on this, on Wednesday, July 27th, I informed judges to issue a Republican ballot upon request to be registered Democrat on Election Day. I was incorrect. This would violate Section so-and-so. Reaffirm the correct reading of the Arizona law. My apologies for misrepresenting this law. If you have any questions, please call or email me. Thank you. Jose Federico, and then he gives his phone number out. So, folks, if you want to call this crook, you can call this crook at 520-724-6881. And there you go. So
you say that one more time. I couldn't write it down.
The number they have in this article, by the way, this is an article by Jordan Conradson, and the number is 520-724-6881.
And it's Federico.
Yeah. It wouldn't do you any good, I don't think, to the folks. I shouldn't even bother to give that out there. But anyhow, because it'll do you no good to call these people. Here is another very quick one, Joe. Exclusive evidence of election irregularities and fraud mechanisms in Virginia presented to top state officials. A group of concerned citizens and experts provided information to top Virginia officials. They are still waiting on the state's response. The TGP reported shortly after the 2020 election that President Trump was way ahead in Virginia on election night. We saw it. We were watching it, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the state was called for Joe Biden. With President Trump still holding a big lead, this made no sense at all. So we went on to discuss the large ballot drops of over 300,000 votes were recorded for Joe Biden. Then after that point in time, Biden maintained the lead. And bizarre ratios of Biden to Trump in all the ballot drops recorded once Biden took the lead. And here, you know, they're showing this. This is where when they had this, Trump had 58.4% of the vote. Biden had 39.8%. And all of a sudden, now listen to this. Trump had 1,080,939, where Biden had 736,000. And all of a sudden, Joe, 300,000 votes came in for Biden at one time.
Yeah, and so, all at once. Yeah, that's mathematically has never happened before in the voting history, but, you know, Biden believes in miracles, don't you?
Right. Now, this wasn't all that is concerning with Virginia. In a recent meeting with Virginia's Attorney General, Robert Pressler, Scott Pressler's father, and individuals connected to Joe Flynn's organization and others gave a presentation sharing their concerns with recent election results and actions that relate to fraud. They discussed the above issues for the 2020 election with unbelievable and impossible ballot drops. They also discussed problems with recent purchase and implements of poll pads throughout the state. Okay, now I'm going to shift here real quickly, Joe, and we're going to go over to Resist and Wake Up. And so let's start. I'm going to start, and as we go through this, we really need to get it done. This is a lot in this, okay? Resist and Wake Up, Stop Obeying Holocaust Survivor Draws Parallels in Current Society to Nazi Germany. And this is an article by Vera Shahrav. And so Vera Shahrav was only 3 years old when her world collapsed. She and her family were chased out of Romania and herded into a concentration camp in Ukraine during World War II, where they were left to wait and starve. The cloud of death was always there, Shahrav told the Epoch Times Weekly. A list determined who would be sent there and where, whether it would be to death or a slave labor camp, she said. While at the camp, she said her father died of typhus when she was five, and which had been widespread throughout the camp because of the cold and malnutrition. After 3 years in the camp, she was rescued in 1944. She said, my mother got wind that a few orphans would be transported out of the camp, so she lied and said I was an orphan to save my life, and that's how I wound up leaving, Shahrav said. This begun what she called her odyssey as a child without parents, left to her own intuition and keen critical assessments of other intentions. I had to assess who I could trust to take care of me, she said. While on a train to the Port Constanța, Romania, where there were three boats awaiting to take groups of people to Palestine, she befriended a family. However, upon arrival, she found herself assigned a boat with other orphan children that would separate her from the family with whom she felt she could trust. So she rebelled. No matter what, I could not be convinced to get on that boat, she said. Miraculously, at the end, they gave me in to me. Seasick, she fell asleep that night, only to wake up to find that the boat with the orphans had been torpedoed by who she said had, she found out decades later, had been the Russians. Though she carried guilt for having survived, she was grateful. She resisted because that resistance kept her alive, she said. I did not obey authority, and I saved my life.
Yeah, think about that. I did not obey, and my disobedience saved my life. And how does that pertain today? The COVID shots, right? Not going to take the shot, not going to take the boost, you know, not going to wear the mask.
Resistance to tyranny. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
Obedience to God.
Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience, always.
Right. Now, she says, today people are obeying authority mindlessly, giving up their rights to make decisions about their lives, what goes into their bodies. I think back to that time. So today, Vera is a medical activist, founder for the Alliance for Human Research Protection, That's a group of professionals to uphold human values, ethical standards established in the original Hippocratic Oath, the Nuremberg Code, and the Universal Declaration on Bioethics and Human Rights. And she's joined with a Scott Sharara, co-founder of our amazing Grace's Light Shines On, Incorporated. And what they've done, they are busy drawing parallels between the socialist regime, the Nazis, the National Socialists in Germany, and the current medical directives being carried out in the U.S. through the government. Now, this Scott Sharara, he lost a daughter in 2021, and she was put in a hospital. Now, she was Down syndrome, and they stuck her in the hospital, and they followed that protocol, put her on a breathing machine, and she died. And he said, you know, he's been trying to tell people that she was killed because they really wanted to get rid of Down syndrome children. And he said, just like the Nazis, the medicine was weaponized. They're doing it today. Though Nazi Germany, the Jews were the target. The first medically murdered victims were disabled German infants and children under three. They expanded this to include the disabled of all ages, the mentally ill, the senior citizens. The Nazis called them worthless eaters, an economic burden. Now, all of a sudden, what COVID came along, and COVID killed, you know, almost all the deaths at first were those well over 65 with comorbidities, the disabled, right? And now they're trying to give this, you know, kill shot to children under five or under six, whichever it is. Either way, it's horrible. So she pointed to 2021, there was a Medicare trustee report that evaluated the cost of keeping the elderly and the disabled federally funded. And they were showing how, well, these two groups costing us $2.2 trillion a year. And on this report, page 11, there's a call for substantial changes to address the financial challenges. Quote, the sooner solutions are enacted, the more flexibility and gradual that they can be. And they're talking about how they can get rid of the old people, the sick and the ill that are draining the Medicare trust money. And just like Germany, it's get rid of the useless eaters, the ones that are the economic burden on the government. And this is, you know, Hitler launched the genocide program and used propaganda. And what's happening today? Well, they're going after the disabled, the elderly in Europe, Australia, Canada, the U.S., and everything, this genocide isn't, do you want to take it over from there? Genocide isn't new?
It's built on a lie. That's right. Sharara said it was an associate justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Oliver Wendell Holmes, who voted in favor of the 8-1 majority opinion in the 1921 case Buck versus Bill, which upheld the Virginia Sterilization Act of 1924 and forced sterilizations of Carrie Buck, who was alleged to be mentally defective. Holmes said it would be better to prevent the mentally disabled from being born than to allow them to sap the strength of the state or let them starve for their immobility. The principle that sustains compulsory vaccinations is broad enough to cover cutting fallopian tubes. The justice wrote in his opinion, three generations of imbeciles are enough. So Carrie Buck, however, was not actually mentally disabled. Sharov said, arguments for eugenics are always built on a lie. Sharov said, but it's an ideology that continues to poison public health policies.
Kind of like Planned Predators based on what?
Big
lie. We've got to get rid of the blacks and the end, you know.
There you go.
Jumped that in there.
And he blames this type of thinking for medical decisions ultimately contribute to Grace's death. Now, Joe, when we talk about the banality of evil, do you know what banality means, Joe?
Not sure.
I was afraid of that, Joe.
The heart of evil, something like
banality. The word banality, it's a word for trite. It means like trite or something that is used too often that loses its value. Okay, and so that's where she picks up the banality. It's used so often of evil. And so pick it up as he continues to try to wrap his mind around what happened to his daughter.
He said he gained some insight from writings of Holocaust survivor Hannah Arendt, concept of this banality of evil. He said this opened up a whole different view of the world, and the experience made her familiar with this concept. The banality of evil is the normalization of mass murder by making it a bureaucratic routine that is handed down as orders go through the chain of command to the person who pulls the switch, gives the injection, turns on the gas, kind of like to the person that gives the shot, the kill shot.
Absolutely.
Nobody calls it murder. Yep. Nobody called it murder. The Nazis were adept at propaganda and language. In fact, the Jews were called spreaders of the disease, not unlike those, remember what they said, those who wouldn't take the jab, the deniers, the science deniers who wouldn't take the jab. And then throughout the spread of the COVID, it was blamed on the pandemic of the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated were the problem that had to be taken care of. They must be vaccinated. We can't let these unvaccinated. Remember all that? They used all this language.
Yeah, but they were very, very disappointed that they could not force us to take it. They were telling you this many people took it, that many, that they're lies. It was all false propaganda. The vast majority of the people refused them. They refused the kill shots. And, of course, you're not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS. But
even Fox, really. But it goes down to, they talk about, there was this Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. Well, that's out the window, she said. The pledge to do no harm got replaced with allegiance to the greater good. And then the question, who has the authority to decide what's best for the greater good? Shurov challenged. What supports the greater good is having respect for the individual and to pursue policies that advocate for the many over the individual is to open the door to medical practices that will cause harm. Look at what Big Pharma is doing to the children, aggressively pursuing them to be jabbed when they are not at risk at all from COVID-19, she said. Now, this person who knows, she sees this. It's a slippery slope with the help of technology. Society is sliding rapidly compared to the slow pace it took for Hitler to come up with this final solution. And Shara says, we're heading there exceptionally fast. Today, the final solution is the reduction of the entire human population under the sustainable agenda of Agenda 2030. Pastor Ernie, you and I have been talking about, started with Agenda 21 and on about this is all about reducing the population, getting rid of as many people as possible, getting rid of the sick, the weak, the old. And, starting in with just the masses, not the elite, but the masses.
We were talking about this, Joe, back in the 1980s. We were talking about this. I was sitting in their meetings, and I would come after going into one of the meetings and tell you, here's what they were talking about, how they were discussing cutting the world population down to 500 million people and all of the ways that they were doing this. This has been going on for a long time, and we've been telling people. And
war,
it's aided.
Pestilence, starvation, disease, they had a whole list of things, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And let me tell you how they're getting away with it, because NBC, ABC, CBS, all of the fake news media is in on it with them. And they're dumbing the people down. They've dumbed the people down. And so, anyhow.
Well, like she says here, she said the elite today are just like the Nazis. They have this arrogance. They believe they're superior. They're entitled to rule the rest of us because they think we're inferior to them. And she said, the trouble is the elite ruling class is godless.
Absolutely.
And Cheryl said, so it's back to, he emphasized, his faith in God is the powerful weapon to combat the dark agendas that are being pushed on us.
We're going to, we have a, I don't know what the prayer request is, but I got to find out. What is that prayer request, John?
Marion in Parma's in the hospital. She broke her hip.
And so, okay, so that's all we know. We don't know, is Marion saved, or you don't know any of that?
Don't know any of that. Huh. She fell and broke her hip earlier today.
Is, she's in the hospital right now. Marion apparently is an older person then. Okay, Joe, Miriam is from Parma here, fell and broke her hip today, and she's in the hospital, and she wants you to pray for her. So
I would love to. Sounds like one of our listeners, so she knows me by name. But dear, everybody, please pray with me because, well, there's power in prayer. The more of us pray, the more it reaches the ears of God. That's what he has said. And one of these days, you and all of everyone listening will need prayer. So join me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we got this call. Marion fell, broke a hip. That is the entire information that I have. But the wonderful, wonderful thing is you know who Marion is. You know everything about her, where she lives. You know the number of hairs in her head, her age, everything. And Lord, we just lift her up to you that I think she's older, and broken hips are dangerous at that age. They require a lot of time healing. And Lord, that you would just bless her in every way. And if she isn't saved, that first and foremost, Lord, that you would draw her closer to you and bring her to you, Lord, and draw her into the family. And that you would be with her doctors and nurses and guide and direct them in what to do, how to handle if she needs surgeries or pins or whatever, Lord, that you would be the one controlling, the great physician, and you would just bless her in every way possible, Lord, especially when somebody calls in and knows they need the prayer. We want to turn it over and give it to you and just, Father, there are things that we have no control over. We feel helpless. We can't do anything, but I just feel so good knowing that we're able to pray for her, that you're hearing, and that thy will be done tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Joe, I'm going to open the phone lines and take some fast calls, some quick calls right away. So
the phone line. Just remember the end of that story. Resist. Wake up. Stop obeying, stop watching, listening to the mainstream media, stop listening to the liberal antichrist system. Wake up, and you can be disobedient, right?
Right. They're going to come back with this monkeypox already. New York Mayor Adam declares state of emergency over monkeypox. Listen, folks, it's all about control. This is what it's all about. It's nothing but about controlling you, and you got to resist. You've got to do, like we told you before, at the very beginning, this is all about control. More, believe me, where it comes to more people have died, 90-something percent of those that have died, what they call died from the COVID, had been either double or triple shot. They had taken the shots. The people that refused to take the kill shots, the bioweapons, the vast majority of them that have COVID survived and got over it. It's the ones that...
Exactly. Even some of us older guys, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Hey, so, I'd like to throw one other thing. This monkeypox is a disease of sodomites and bisexual men. And if it weren't for political correctness, the CDC could come out and tell all the homosexuals and bisexuals and sodomites and whatever to just refrain from sexual intercourse for 2 or 3 weeks. And that would stop the epidemic because it's an STD, and you have to have very close contact to get it. But they can't do something simple like that because it doesn't fit the narrative. I just had to put that in, Pastor.
All right. Well, you know, like, do you think polar bears would tell seals to go south and they wouldn't be eaten by polar bears? No, they wouldn't do that. You see why, Joe? Because the polar bears want to eat the seals. And
right.
Believe me, the CDC, the entire Deathocratic Communist Collective, the entire collective, and we're talking about the whole world, New World Order, they are about death. This is their, they want to mm-hmm. reduce the world's population. We've been telling people this is a reality. It's hard for a lot of people to wrap their brain around that.
Right.
That
they
is
don't
the
care
reality.
If you're red, yellow, black, or white, right? Male or female, they want you gone.
All righty. Okay, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. We got time to take a few quick calls. 888-677-9673. And normally by this time the lines are already lit up. Do we have anyone there yet?
We've got Bob in Brunswick, New Jersey.
Okay, let's go to New Jersey. New Jersey out there. We got Bob in Brunswick. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. I'm curious, what have happened to the lady that you had on a couple of times on the air where they were trying to evict her and her children from which really should have been her house?
Well, you know? They did evict her. We sent some people over. And, you know, we have a very, very corrupt judicial system out there today. And they had another case in court. I haven't heard anything, but some of the men from my church went over there and helped her to move her some of the people from her church were also over there helping her move. But,
well, that was
you know,
because I was like texting her back and forth and stuff like that, you know, giving her some encouragement. I just haven't heard back from her. But anyway, I know she's in God's hand. Keep up the good work, my brother.
All right. Thanks, Bob. God bless. All righty. Who do we have next?
George in Oregon.
Going out to Oregon with George. George, you're in the air. Hey, George.
Oh, this is Cliff, New York. Is this?
Okay. Cliff in New York.
He's having to fake who and where he is so he can get on the air.
Yeah, that's almost the same as George in Oregon. Go ahead, Cliff. Go on, Cliff.
Yeah, okay. Psalm 37, verse 20, it says the enemies of God. But what do you think of that? That's how I don't see anybody in the history of mankind, including pre-flood, that's as bad as, like, Pfizer, the CDC, the Joe Biden team. I think the Joe Biden team's much worse than the Hitler team. But what do you think of that verse, Psalm 37, verse 20?
Well, you're talking about, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs, and they shall consume into smoke, and they shall consume away. Again, you know, this is one of those verses, it's about two or three verses in the Bible that they build a complete doctrine on, and that's the doctrine of annihilation. And so what's happening? Yeah, the enemies of God are going to end up in the lake of fire, but he's not talking about then. You see, people are eternal beings. We change real estate, we change form and shape, but we don't go out of existence. And when he's talking about that, they shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lamb, and they shall consume away, and smoke shall they consume away. Well, he's talking about they're going to die, but their bodies will be resurrected someday to stand before the white throne judgment. And so, but the enemies of God, let me tell you, God recognizes two kinds of people, just two. Those that are received Christ as their Lord and Savior, and those that have rejected him. Those are the two people, the kind that God will recognize. And, boy, you don't want to be the latter. You don't want to be one that has rejected the free gift of eternal life, do you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think verse 34 talks about the law of God, and it is interesting that these people are making their own bizarre laws up, you know.
Yep.
You know, they're going against the laws of nature, even. You know, they're injecting people with something that goes against, like, the laws of how a body works, you know?
Yeah. He says, I've seen the wicked in a great power and spreading himself like a green tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, and he could not be found. And so, again, he's talking about how they're going to perish. In the New Testament, it says the very same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that they're going to be, you know, there will be an end to come to their wickedness. And, you know, when people will ask, when the Lord asked the Lord, why do you allow, why do the wicked prosper? And the Lord's response was that God in his mercy allows them a little pleasure for a short season, because that's as good as it's going to get for them. That's as good as, like, okay, look at it this way. People like Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner had it pretty good, but he's not there now, and he probably don't have it too good today, does he?
Yeah, he did have a good run with the ladies, yeah, but like I said, he was a wicked man. I mean, you know,
What do you think, George Soros? George Soros is getting very, very close to that time, and I don't think he's been given over to such a reprobate mind, and I think that he has such a hatred for God that George Soros is, there's no chance he's going to repent. I don't think it'll happen. So, all of his money.
I think he wrote an article that they published in the Wall Street Journal this week.
Yeah.
That was almost like in your face, like, I'm going to continue to do this to the end. I'll continue to, destroy as many people as I can. You know, how like, it doesn't seem like he's wants to repent?
No. George Soros, remember what he said? He said, I am a God. I don't need a God, because I am a God. Boy, is he in for a rude awakening, huh?
Well, he should look in the mirror. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he has a hearing aid. I mean, he's not Adonis at this point, you know, and, so that's where these people are, you know, they need to do. It is incredible that these people in the CDC are selling their souls to Satan for a salary that's probably maybe $100,000 a year. They're not even doing it for $1 billion, you know.
No, they're getting a lot more than that.
But you think they're getting a lot under the table? Yeah, Joe?
Oh, they get. We did a program on it where the different pharmaceutical companies give them gifts. One of them got a $1 million bonus from somebody, and it was like given as a gift. So yeah, they're doing all kinds of things, and they're making money from them.
Okay, so they're probably getting. The decision makers at the CDC are probably getting, like you said.
As soon as they leave the CDC, they go right to work for Big Pharma.
Yeah. Yep.
They're bought and paid for whores.
Yep. That's exactly what they are.
Wow. But it is incredible, though, because they don't, I mean, this is just incredible.
Cliff, I'm running out of time. I got to move on. Okay.
I was going to ask him if he'd
who do we have next there? This will be the last call. Nancy in Oregon. Nancy in Oregon. You're in the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. I sure enjoy you guys. I'm a new listener, and you're right down my alley, what I believe, especially about the vax. I never did take it, and I thank God. I haven't got the COVID or anything. God has gave me a beautiful phone that I've seen, and it's like on my right hand, my left, below me, behind me, above me, circle me, Jesus, and one drop of your blood and cover me. And he's kept me safe all these years. And but what I want to talk to you about is I live in Liberal, Oregon, as you know. And there's a Polk County, and there's a college that my brother works at, and he said they had a special meeting the other day. This is probably a week ago or so, and they are to put they're bringing in these dispensers that have tampons and women's products.
Yes.
And they're putting them in the men's, they have to put them in the men's restroom.
Room, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they're putting them in the boys, in the boys' bathrooms in the public schools.
Yeah, well, this isn't the college. And then, excuse me, and then the worst is, he said, the lady that was giving him this, it was a special meeting that they had to attend, and the worst is the districts with the lower grades, that if there's little kids that think that they want to turn into kitty cats, they can come to school wearing ears and tails, and they're planning on putting litter boxes in the bathrooms. And she said, we're going to try it and see how it goes.
Right, for the children identify as animals. Yep.
Yeah. Litter boxes. Have you guys heard of that? That is.
Well yeah,
my brother's a Christian, and he wants. You know, I know he won't lie about this. So.
Oh yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, they're doing that. And remember, God is not the author of confusion. These people are. This is right from the pit of hell. It's right. And if you love your children, you got to get them out of the public school. But I have to move on because we're out of time. But God bless and thanks for calling. And so, and we're at that time right now, folks. Listen. One of these days, all of this will be gone. You know, it'll be gone, folks. But one thing, like the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will last forever. And he has a guarantee for those that believe in him, those that call upon his name. He's made it pretty clear. And I just want to tell you what he says there over, in fact, in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15. Here's what he says. You ready? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so, folks, that's exactly right. He's, again, God's word will not fade. And right now, it'll never pass away. For those that trust in the Lord, and by the way, I'm going to be, Lord's willing, I'm going to be preaching on the awesomeness of God this Sunday. What God has said, those of us that have put our faith and trust in him, we're going to die, but we get resurrected, and we will, again, put on incorruption. We will become immortal. We will become immortal. God has said we will become immortal. And, folks, if God tells you you're going to become immortal, guess what? You're going to become immortal. But you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. And but we're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always, 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 let's do it, Joe. Keep fighting.
Fighting.
The fight. Have a good night, John.
Thanks for listening to the voice of the Christian resistance. What's right, what's left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.